Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Well, I guess that was a cold open. So welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And here we are, post-election. The world is still spinning. We're all still here. We're going to have to discuss that a little bit because it was the story of the week. I don't think either side got what they hoped. I was hoping that we would keep the House, we would hold the House, and increase in the Senate. We increased in the Senate, but we didn't hold the House. And my staff, when I got in the next morning, asked, what do you think that means? And I said, I don't know. It means that I overestimated the intelligence of the general public, first of all, because I doubted very much that they would vote against their own best interest. Because let's face it, it's going to be a 2 years of just ridiculous, over-the-top idiocy. Maxine Waters is back in a position of power. Nancy Pelosi is back in a position of power. However, we have increased our numbers in the Senate to the point that just in case Ruth Bader Ginsburg does decide to go towards the light, the next appointee will not have as difficult a time as Justice Kavanaugh. Now, with that caveat being put forth, I do have to point out the fact that only 49% of those eligible to vote actually went out and voted in this midterm. 49%, not even half. So the number was 113 odd million people, and those eligible to vote is somewhere like 230 or 227, around there somewhere. So they kept pumping this up as being the most important midterm election of a generation, perhaps two. They kept winding everyone up to go out to vote, to save the republic, to show Trump that he had no support, whatever it was. And 49% of people showed up. Now, you have to also realize the just astonishing amounts of money that were spent on the 2018 midterms. It is by far the most expensive midterm in history. They're estimating that something like $5.2 billion was spent on this year's election. $5.2 billion with a B was spent on the midterm election. And this is important because there are still some within Christendom that don't want to acknowledge the fact that they're at war. There are still some that are merrily slumbering or eating popcorn under a palm tree, waiting for it all to collapse in anarchy. But the other side is actually fighting with a purpose. Our side seems to be treading water. And I'm disappointed in that, because we're not supposed to be observers. We're not supposed to watch the world go by. We're supposed to be conquerors. We're supposed to be the tip of the spear when it comes to societal change. Now, if one thing is a positive, if one thing is heartwarming, is that all the candidates that Hollywood and the left pumped money into like there was no tomorrow seem to have lost. They're trying to gerrymander the Florida elections right now. ordering recounts and whatnot, hoping against hope that they're going to steal it. But the big ones that they were hoping would go their way, like Texas, failed. He got close, closer than anybody hoped, but then again, he spent $70 million. So what this means, during the next go-round, which is, oddly enough, 2 years away, if we don't get activated, if we don't become active, if we don't realize that even though we may not be fighting back, the other side hasn't stopped swinging, it's going to be an ugly 2020. These 2 years are going to be just cantankerous and humorous and I think just horrid, because these people don't know how to do things diplomatically anymore. They don't know how to do things in half measure anymore. You would have thought that having won the House, having been a split decision, as the kids like to say, it would have calmed some spirits and it would have made people, you know, take a breath or two. But no. What was it? Last night. Somebody put out Tucker Carlson's home address. And these people went up and started yelling at his door while his wife was at home. There are reports that his door was even cracked because they tried to kick it in. There seems to be no letting up from their madness. There seems to be no letting up from their intent, which is to silence any opposition and, like spoiled children, have their way no matter what. The first thing a Democratic congressman who won his seat said is, we're going to start impeachment against Kavanaugh. There is no, cause. There is no evidence that he's impeachable. But still, this mindset is pervasive. And the hatred keeps boiling over and boiling over. And eventually, at some juncture, at some turning point, it's going to get violent beyond the point of it being able to be walked back, because they will inevitably, eventually, try to kick in the wrong door. They will inevitably and eventually try to protest the wrong person. And then someone will die. Mark my words, it's only a matter of time before these fools try to impose their will on the wrong individual, and then it will be chaos. Look, I think that when a segment of the population of a country is so self-loathing and self-destructive, when they don't understand the blessings that they have or the grace that they've been given to live in this country, when you see a group of fools yelling no borders, no walls, no USA at all in front of somebody's house who did nothing to them on a personal level, but who they despise because of his political stance, there's no room for reason with such people. There's no common ground to be found. And so we either allow this to metastasize, we either allow this to grow and consume, or it gets nipped in the bud. It gets shut down hard and fast. I don't know which way we will choose. I don't know which way we will go. But I have to filter everything I see, and I have to filter everything I hear through the prism of what I know is coming upon this nation. I have to filter everything I see and hear through the prism of the unshakable knowledge that judgment is coming sooner or later. And so I don't think things will calm down. I don't think spirits will be calm, because this is, undergirding all of this, is a spiritual matter. There is a spiritual anger, a wrath, because the enemy is feeling as though he's being deterred. Let's put it that way. He's being slowed down from his pursuits. And this is the first time in a long time that this has happened to the enemy. Because thus far, he's been able to run roughshod. Anything the other side wanted, the other side got. Because to them, winning is everything. And so it didn't matter if they have to make up stories about an individual. It didn't matter if they have to make up stories about a family. It didn't matter if they had to accuse somebody of the vilest, most horrible things. As long as they got the win, they were okay with whatever they did. As long as they got the win, it didn't matter that lives were ruined and reputations were in tatters, that people's husbands and people's wives started looking at them sideways because there were just so many voices saying similar things regarding that person that they're with, that even if they didn't want to, they started to wonder, maybe what if? See, we're still trying to fight a battle of civility. People who will go to somebody's house while his family's at home and try to kick in the door and scream at the top of their lungs that he's a racist. Now, if you don't know who Tucker Carlson is, he's a guy that used to wear bow ties. He's just the most placid individual. But he's somebody that leans towards the conservative bend. He's somebody that does believe borders are there for a reason. And he does have a platform on Fox News. So, the issue is as follows. Are we going to let groups of individuals who are, by all definition, mobs, rule the rest of us, or are we going to stand up for ourselves? Because to them, silence is acquiescence. If enough people say nothing, then they will continue to do what they are doing. Look, there's no such thing as a difference of political opinion in this country anymore. Everybody's at each other's throats. If you don't believe like I believe, then you have to die. That's what it's come to. And so less and less people are wondering whether or not there will be civil unrest in this country. And now the only thing that they're wondering is when. When will it occur? Well, again, there are powder kegs aplenty. And there's one that I read about just today. That may be another one. Now, you remember a few weeks ago, because news happens so quickly that people tend to forget just how the other side reacted when Brett Kavanaugh got confirmed. I'm sure there are YouTube clips. You should watch and refresh your memory to see how those people reacted, just because the conservatives got a majority. There is news out today that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the elder, isn't doing so hot. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 85, breaks ribs in fall. Supreme Court Justice fell in her office at the court and fractured three ribs, the court says. Tests showed that she fractured 3 ribs on her left side and she was admitted for observation and treatment, the statement from the court said. Ginsburg's health has been a matter of intense speculation in recent years. Ginsburg, the court's oldest member, is one of the court's 4 liberal judges. So, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg decides to go towards the light, because Lord knows she's had enough battles, this woman has stuck around. She beat cancer twice. Apparently, her body no longer transmits signals to her brain that she's in pain, because after breaking 3 ribs, she went home. After experiencing discomfort overnight, she went to the university hospital this morning. You got to be a tough old bird to have 3 fractured ribs and go home and go, not feeling quite right. I should maybe go have this checked out. But she is 85. She is what we might call fragile. And, you know, if it's her time, God bless. Because I think when the news hits that Ruth Bader Ginsburg went on to the great beyond, madness will sweep the streets again. There are people that one might consider reasonable adults offering Ruth Bader Ginsburg anything from their ribs to their kidneys to a lung or anything else she might need. And again, we go back to the undergirding principle. The reason that they want this old bird to live isn't because they're in love with somebody that looks very much like the mummy. The reason they want her to live is because of her stance on the murder of babies in the womb. And they know that if perchance she doth go towards the light, Donald Trump's going to appoint another Supreme Court justice. And even though they got the House and Maxine Waters talking about impeachment, the Senate gained Republican seats. And whoever Donald Trump picks to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg in case of her untimely demise is going to be another conservative, is going to be another judge that is a constitutionalist. The name being floated around is that of a woman who's mother to 7 children, who's already been branded as too religious for the highest court in the land. There's so many things that can make these people go mad. They had a partial victory and still they're unsatisfied because they will never be satisfied. You have to realize that if they had won the House and the Senate, if they'd already started impeachment proceedings and Donald Trump would have stepped down and Mike Pence would have said he didn't want the job and somebody else would have gotten sworn in as president, content, because they don't know how to be content. They don't know what it is to have peace, because only Christ can give peace, and if they have not Christ, they have not peace. And so all they know is vitriol and violence. All they know is sanctimony. All they know is pontificating to other people about things they themselves don't do. Now, in case you haven't heard, this was, you know, if you don't know Jim Acosta, then you can't appreciate the humor of it. But Jim Mad Dog Acosta himself got his White House credentials suspended because he shoved an intern who was trying to take the microphone from him because it was his contention that the migrant caravan is not an invasion, as Donald Trump said, and he needed the president to see it as he did. And frankly, Donald Trump gave a reasonable answer. We have a difference of opinion All right, that's that. No, he continued and he persisted and he badgered. And finally, I don't know why it's lasted this long, but yes, Jim the Bulldog Acosta has had his White House privileges revoked. And there are numerous memes that are exceedingly humorous about Jim Acosta being on the outside looking in now. Another thing that happened is that Jeff Sessions has resigned. And to be fair, he did resign at the behest and request of the president. I think everybody saw this coming, but even so, everybody is feigning just complete horror and outcry. This is not a constitutional crisis. This is perhaps an opportunity for the acting attorney general to actually be attorney general and not be out of the loop completely because he recused himself on day one. The guy that's replacing Jeff Sessions, at least until a permanent replacement can be had, not only looks like a bulldog, he seems to be a bulldog. And the thing that has the other side in a complete tizzy, the thing that is making them have sleepless nights and lose their appetite, is the fact that this young gentleman who is appointed as interim attorney general has publicly said that Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted. He's actually written a paper on it. And this is why they're apoplectic. They're going nuts. Who was it? Rachel Maddow herself, the butch madame, has threatened to go and storm Capitol Hill or the White House or something. Apparently she doesn't understand that Secret Service won't let her through. Godspeed, Rachel Maddow. But yeah, they're just absolutely bonkers, because the man that has been appointed to interim attorney general is no pushover. This guy looks like he's a tough nut to crack, and you know what? I'm very curious how long it's going to take for Donald Trump to declassify the FISA warrant and everything else. I think that he's got nothing to lose. He knows that the Democrats in the House are going to throw everything in the, including the kitchen sink, at him. If there was any collusion or anything else, it would have come out by now. There is absolutely no way they could have kept it under wraps if they found anything for 2 years. Understand that. This thing would have leaked 5 minutes after the evidence was found. Because it's in the swamp's best interest to undermine this president at every turn. It's in the swamp's best interest to delegitimize Donald Trump. And so if there was any evidence of collusion, if even a whiff of collusion were present, they would be hammering it day and night. A secret source, I love unnamed secret sources, would have given the details of every single thing that could have been called collusion. But it didn't happen. It hasn't happened after 2 years. And even the most ardent Russia individuals are starting to see the writing on the wall. And they're disappointed. They're extremely disappointed. They're supremely disappointed, because there was no Russia collusion, and their candidate lost because she was a horrible candidate, not because the Russians had anything to do with it. So, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about what happened last night in California, because I'm sure you've heard, everybody else has been talking about it. And once again, it was a horrible, horrible thing. You can't have another position but for to say It was a horrible, horrible thing. A gunman killed 12 people in a Southern California bar. And then he killed himself. Apparently, this man was a former Marine. He suffered from PTSD. And yeah, 12 people, 13, including the shooter, dead. And among them, a police sergeant who was close to retirement. It's a heartbreaking thing, and it's horrible. But again, I get the sickening feeling in the pit of my stomach that they're going to use this to try and push gun control again. Because their entire philosophy is to not let a good crisis go to waste. And so even though this is the first, all the mass shootings that have taken place in America, this is the first that can be attributed to someone that was in the armed forces. This is the first. And yet, this is what they're going to hammer home over and over and over again. So, they know that they're not going to be able to get gun confiscations. They're not there yet, even though they're propagandizing the high schoolers, they're propagandizing the college students, and within a generation, I think there's going to be enough sheep that are going to vote for absolutely anything if they're promised free tuition or free healthcare or something free from the government. But for now, I think, and it's a disgusting posture, but I guarantee you, they will try to float the idea that, well, we're not going to confiscate guns from everyone, but how about anyone who served overseas? How about anyone who's seen combat? Because it's evident. Look what PTSD does. They're all dangerous. Who was it? Don the homosexual lemon said flat out, white men are the most dangerous thing roaming America. And this will give fuel to their flame. This will give fuel to their fire. And they're going to beat this horse not only till it dies, but till there's nothing left of it. Because this is what they do. Again, elections have consequences. And if you didn't go and vote, if you stayed home because you thought it was a protest or whatever else, then, you don't have a right to complain. I'm sorry. You have forfeited any right to say anything regarding what is going on in the government of these United States if you did not see fit to go and cast your ballot and cast your vote. 49% of those that are eligible to vote decided for everyone what the course of this nation would be. 49%, not even a majority, not even 51, 49 decided that the House should go to the Democrats, to the loony bin that is the now Democratic Party. Do you realize an open communist won a seat? An open Muslim who prayed to Allah that Israel be destroyed won a seat? This is a nut burger crew, kids. And every single one of them is going to try to outdo each other. Every single one of them is going to come out with a new theory of why everybody should be impeached and we should have just a socialist republic because that's best for everyone. Look, Gavin Newsom is now the governor of California. This is the intellectual midget that floated healthcare for all, free healthcare for all in California, where you have just illegals pouring across the border every single day. what, 20-some-odd million illegals. Free health care for everybody. And you know what? Eventually, they're going to run out of the rich's money. And eventually, taxes are going to be so exorbitant that first people are going to start the exodus, then businesses are going to start the exodus, and California is going to find itself with no dinero. I'm so sorry. No tengo dinero. And how are they going to pay for all these beautiful gifts they want to give to citizen and non-citizen alike if no tengo dinero? Now, for those of you who didn't take Spanish in junior high, no tengo dinero means we don't have any money. So they're going to go to the federal government. Because if the state don't got no dinero, there's always the federal government. And so 49 states are going to foot the bill for the one state that is mentally checked out. Because let's face it, if you have to wade through human feces and drug needles to get your kid on the school bus, and you're still okay to vote in the same governing class, then, Kitty, you got what you deserved. I have absolutely no sympathy for anyone that votes for the same fools, even though their constituency, their city, their state, is it's not going to hell in a handbasket anymore. It's in hell. They've landed. Bienvenidos, or welcome, if you will. That's it. They're not headed. They're there. And now it's only a matter of time. And so I do think we still have a window. I'm back to this again. Because again, I've been thinking about this. I'm trying to cobble it together in my mind. I'm trying to sort of timeline adjust on the fly, as it were. Because I have to make preparations for my family. I have to make sure that they're safe. I got two kids. So it's not as though I don't have a vested interest in trying to reason this out. I think we have a window because it needs to get a bit worse. The divide needs to be bigger. I know it seems impossible right now. I know that you're sitting there scratching your head going, how much worse can it get? You shall see. I'm telling you this, you shall see. I think states like California have to go bankrupt. I think the influx of citizens from these states that they destroyed with their vote has to become evident in these other states. And there's going to be that rancor. There's going to be that divisiveness or divisiveness, if you will. Because why do you think Texas was so close? Because of all the people moving out of California to Texas. Because the taxes in California are just ridiculous. Because people no longer feel safe in their own homes in California. Because they have to wade through human feces. And then they go to a place like Texas, where people say good morning, where men wearing cowboy hats will tip their hat and open the door for you, where people are easygoing and friendly, where there's no human feces on the street that you have to wade through. And they go, hey, this is a nice place. We should move here and attempt to turn it into the place that we left. Yeah, illogical for sure. But this is what is happening. People are fleeing high-tax states that have sanctuary policies. They move to conservative states, to red states, and then they do their utmost to try and influence politics into becoming like the place that they left behind. Not realizing that there really is no other place to go. If you foul up these last bastions of conservatism, is no other place to go. And so, inevitably, there will be a reckoning. Inevitably, there will be a bloodletting. And it's going to be gruesome and ugly. Because it's not North and South anymore. It's every man for himself. Do you realize this? Because I know there's some on our side and a lot on their side. Bring it on. Let's get it over with. Listen to me. It's not North and South anymore. It's every man for himself. That's the scary thing nobody's pondering. Let that sink in. Do you know your neighbors? Are they your friends? I know these are things we don't want to think about. Because even though the Democrats took the House, man, the economy's still booming. And people have a little extra coin in their pocket. But those who are mad keep getting madder still. They've lost touch with reason. They've lost touch with humanity. They don't care, and they don't care to care. That the people they're screaming at, whose doors they're trying to break down, are innocent. They've done nothing to them. And like I said earlier in the program, there will come a moment when they try to kick in the wrong door. There will come a moment when the individual behind the door is not going to go hide in a cupboard or in a pantry and call 911. There will come a moment when the individual behind the door is going to call 911. Then they're going to come out guns blazing. Because people have a right to defend their homestead. They have a right to defend their property. They have a right to defend their families. I'm sorry, if my girls and my wife are in the house and you're trying to kick in my door, one of us isn't seeing another sunrise. It's my duty as the head of my household to protect my family. And I don't think these people are taking it into account. They still think that they can scream their way to getting what they want. Well, I'm sorry, people aren't falling for it anymore. And when they see that their screams aren't working, when they see that no matter how loud and annoying they are, people simply aren't paying them any mind, they are going to escalate. Because this is what they do. When these people don't get their way, they escalate. If yelling and screaming and banging bongo drums won't do it for them, then they try to kick in the door. If kicking the door won't do it for them, then they'll resort to something more sinister. And so this kind of aggression cannot go unchecked. This kind of aggression cannot be overlooked or brushed aside were justified by people like Don the Homosexual Lemon because, well, it's Antifa. They're anti-fascist. Really? Look, the Republicans lost the House. Did you see any Republican out in the street making a fool of themselves? Did you see any Republican burning down stores and kicking in doors and banging drums and wearing stupid pink hats? No, they took it in stride. Those that win and voted, oh well, didn't get their way. Look, I would have liked my governor to stay in office. I think Scott Walker in Wisconsin did an amazing job. Apparently, enough citizens of Wisconsin thought, hey, let's try door number two, that Scott Walker did not win a third term as governor. I don't think those who voted for the new guy read too much into him, because if they would have, they would have realized that he wants to raise state taxes and do a lot of other things that goes against their personal self-interest. But they didn't care because we bought into this nonsense that it's time for change. Well, change for change's sake is just idiocy. Because change can be negative as well as positive. And that's what they don't seem to get. It could always be better, yep, but it could always be worse. And nobody figures that it could always be worse. They're all looking at the greener pasture. They're not looking at the dry desert. And I think 2 years is plenty of time for people to realize what they've done. Because like I said, these people will not be calmed. Their anger is so all-consuming that no matter what, they're still going to keep on doing what they've been doing for the last 2 years or so, getting in people's faces and poking them in the chest and protesting their homes and scaring their kids. Since when do you have a right to scare my kids because we disagree politically? That's just insanity. But see, to them, kids, children, wives, husbands are just collateral damage. Well, we're going to ruin a man's reputation or life. Doesn't matter. Collateral damage. We can't have him on the Supreme Court. We're going to go scare a man's wife and kids while he's on the air. Doesn't matter. He'll get the point. And this is dangerous because people who would say something look at what's happening and they go, I'd better not. I better just, you know, sit in my seat and sit on my hands and keep my head low because they may come to my house next. Do you realize how insidious that is? It is absolutely insidious. It's silencing people through mob violence. That's exactly how the communists took over in Romania and in Russia. People were too afraid to say anything. And eventually they became the majority, and then it didn't matter if people said anything. Because once they're the ruling class, once they're in power, that's when they'll let their fangs show. You have no idea what they're capable of. Look, I know that some of you think that the things Donald Trump says are bombastic and hyperbolic. I guarantee you they're not. Once these people get power, their fangs show. Because the only thing they care about is power. The only thing they're concerned with is ruling. And every ruling class throughout history has had to have They're thugs to maintain order. The guys with the billy clubs and the sticks. The guys with the masks and the hoods. This is why, even after all these people did in Portland, in Ferguson, Tucker Carlson's house, and everywhere else in between, they're not being denounced by the Democratic Party. Because these are their thugs. These are their enforcers. Make an example out of somebody so that everybody else shuts up. If the first one doesn't work, make an example out of somebody else. And for the media to give these animals cover, for the media to justify what they're doing, makes the media complicit. So yes, they are the enemy of the people. Because when you hear about something like this, your synaptic response goes into overdrive. You start thinking about everything. Tucker Carlson can afford security for his family. I can't afford security for mine. Might as well just shut up and not say anything. Because somebody might put my address out on the internet and say, hey, go after this guy. Do you see how that works? Silencing people through intimidation. Silencing people through the threat of violence. And if this one doesn't work, they'll try to make an example out of the next one. And until they're shut down with prejudice, they'll keep doing it. And decent people who would otherwise voice their opinion, decent people who would otherwise have an objection, decent people who would otherwise have something to say, are biting their tongues because they don't want to get in the crosshairs of these people. They don't want to have to deal with unwashed heathens trying to kick in their door and banging drums in front of their house, calling them Nazis. This is the reality that we're living. It's not over by a long shot. They are not appeased because they won the House. They set their sights much higher. They want it all. And they're going to use threats and intimidation and everything else that they can think of, with the propagandist media carrying their water, until the people stand up and say no more, or they get their way. That's it. It's that simple. And they're going to use every opportunity to downplay how dangerous these gangs, these thugs, these mobs are, all the while pointing to the one outlier to confirm how dangerous white men and their alpha maleness are. What was that term? Toxic masculinity. Yes, masculinity is toxic. We have to do away with it. Well, who's going to protect you from the big bad wolf if there's no more toxic, if there's no more masculine men? They don't want to think this stuff through, man. It's good fodder. It's a beautiful tweet that got retweeted 37 times. Why would they take the time to think things through and realize that what they're saying is utter foolishness? I mean, there's plenty of quotes by newly minted members of Congress that should make you scratch your head. One of the new superstars, Ocasio-Cortez, was quoted as saying, Why do we need farmers? We get our fruits and vegetables from the store anyway. So that's how you know the level of intellect that you're dealing with. And these are the people that were voted into office, not only to govern over you, but to receive paychecks from your tax dollars. Now, if you went out and voted, you have every right to be disappointed. You have every right to feel less than optimal about the results. But if you didn't go and vote, I'm so sorry. You have no reason to say absolutely anything about anything because you decided to sit it out. 51% of Americans that are of voting age decided to sit it out. That's a scary number to me. Because 49% decided the fate of the country. They decided the fate of the nation. They decided the trek upon which it would run. And just in case you thought they were happy with the half win, they're still trying to upturn the election in Florida and in Arizona. Surprisingly, they keep finding ballots. And oddly enough, they're all on of the Democratic bent. So there you go. Welcome to dirty politics. Now, if the number would have been 80% of people voted, then these wouldn't be issues. There comes a point, there comes a tipping point where it's just so blatantly obvious, where the numbers are just so stacked against them that they can't flip it. They can't forge enough. They can't fake enough. They can't find enough ballots to switch it. Texas was one of those cases. You think that if it was within a margin, if it was within 20, 30, 40,000 votes, they wouldn't have dragged it along for the next 2 days and somehow made Robert Patrick O'Rourke the new senator of Texas? But the chasm was just too wide. Now, in Arizona, apparently, and in Florida, close enough where they can try. They're going to try it, man. They're going to try their best to try and undo this. And surprise, surprise, Stacey Adams of Georgia has not yet conceded because she's hoping that somewhere there's a trunk full of ballots that someone's just going to find. And she'll get those extra 50,000 votes because, again, they play dirty. There's no honesty. There's no being a gracious loser. These people don't know how to be gracious losers. To them, it's very simple. Have to win at all costs. And so they're willing to do absolutely anything in order to facilitate them winning at all cost. So, this is where we are. This nation's going to need a lot of prayer. This nation's going to need, I think, a lot of soul searching, to be honest with you. And it's going to need the other 51% to actually step up. It's going to need the other 51% to actually do something other than find all the reasons why they're not going to make the trek to the poll and cast a vote for anybody. I could have found plenty of excuses and reasons. I chose to go vote. Because I will not go silently into that good night. My voice will not be silenced by screaming mobs. I will not bend to the will of the mob. Because I have to look my kids in the eye. And I have to teach my daughters dignity. And I have to teach my daughters principles. And I have to teach my daughters that there is no victory without battle. So thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for being with us. Lord willing, next week we will be live once again. May God bless you. May God keep you. And until next time, be wise. God bless. Gino, it's all yours.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Next Saturday, November 17th, Michael and myself will be at Crossroads Worship Center in Howard City, Michigan. It's a meeting that we're going to have. I invited people from around the state to come. And please go to handofhelp.com. We will have the event details posted tomorrow on the website. Again, Friday or Saturday night, November 17th, we'll be at Crossroads Worship Center, Howard City, Michigan. God bless you. Keep us in prayer and have a great night in the Lord.